Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
And at 7:44 we say good morning to Professor Eitan Gilboa. He is the director of the Center for International Communication at Bar-Ilan University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very good. Before we get on to... let's actually talk about Israel's response to the two Israeli embassy staffers who were killed in a shooting attack in Washington. What has been Israel's response?
Well, obviously, most of us were not surprised that it happened. After so many months of incitement to hatred and violence in the United States, turns out that Free Palestine is not a peaceful slogan. It is a call for violence and murder. There were some talks between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and there were exchanges of information between Israel and Jewish communities, Jewish organizations in the United States. The murder happened at the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C., in an event for young diplomats organized by the American Jewish Committee, one of the largest Jewish organizations in the United States. So there were some exchanges about safety and security around Israeli and Jewish organizations in the United States. But it is ridiculous and unbelievable that in Brooklyn, I'm visiting there frequently, in Brooklyn, which is a major Jewish city in America.
Professor?
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Can you just repeat what you said about Brooklyn? Because you disappeared for a minute.
Yes, I said that it's incredible that a Jew cannot walk freely in the streets of Brooklyn wearing a yarmulke or a Magen David and be subjected to attacks and violence just because he is a Jew. And President Trump, as well as the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, they promised to take action against hatred and violence. I can tell that the Biden administration had done nothing to combat this kind of violence because of the presidential elections, as well as the progressive branch in the Democratic Party. We expect the Trump administration to take more forceful measures against what is happening in the campuses of the United States and as well as in the streets. Trump is beginning to punish universities such as Harvard. Just the other day, Harvard lost its accreditation to sponsor both foreign faculty and students. I think this might be a step in the right direction. It is a little bit regrettable that too many, including Jews, are opposing those kind of measures designed to protect themselves.
It is a crazy thing. I mean, do you think that Israelis are going to be more targeted, or do you think that the world just sees Jews?
No, I think both Israelis and Jews. And as I said, the event occurred at the Jewish Museum. And in the past, we have seen attacks on Jews. I don't buy that kind of a distinction between Jews and Israelis. Neither I accept the distinction between anti-Semitism and anti-Israel.
Yeah.
Some people argue that, we are not anti-Semites, we are only against Israel. But when you say that Israel does not have a right to exist, and we have found that just during last week, there were about 500 messages in the across the internet rejecting Israel's right to exist. This is anti-Semitism. And so I think that we should expect Israelis as well as American Jews to be targeted by the radical left. We know that some people are inspired by that kind of terrorism, and they try to do the same. We know it from experience in Israel as well as in Europe. So I think that what should be done is, on the one hand, to better protect events, Jewish events, Jewish organizations, synagogues, etc., as well as taking serious measures against against those who incite to violence and hatred and murder, and those who are not American citizens or American permanent residents should be kicked out of the United States. And I think President Trump is about to do that.
Yeah, when people go to the United States and they start shouting death to America, they definitely should be deported. All right, let's move on, Professor. Every day there is a ballistic missile fired from Yemen. It triggers sirens across central Israel. Millions of people have to go into their bomb shelters. It happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, as happened at 3 o'clock this morning. Well, it was 3 o'clock, I think. Was it your time or our time? And the world is, unless you listen to a station like Chai FM, or even the Israeli media stopped reporting it for a little while, but I see that they're back reporting it again. How is Yemen affording this? Each ballistic missile is approximately $15 million. How are they affording it?
Okay, first of all, it happened tonight at the city I live in.
Yes.
So the siren, I think, started at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
For me, it is a disaster. I can testify from a personal experience, because it's very difficult to get asleep back. And, I could not really return to sleep.
Sure.
The whole thing is this is a major problem. Yemen is one of the most one of the most poorest countries in the world, and people there starve. Yet there was a major civil war there. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed. They couldn't care less. They have nothing to lose. It turns out that a month of American bombing of targets in Yemen did nothing to them. So they continue to launch those missiles. I think that Israel will retaliate. The idea would be to isolate them, the Houthis, from their sources of fuel and munition. Iran is behind it. And so I believe that eventually Iran will have to be accountable to that. I think President Trump made a huge mistake by making a ceasefire with the Houthis, excluding Israel. Now, the Houthis were really in bad shape, and Trump could have told them, "You stop now all your attacks, either on American targets or Israel, or else I will continue the war." And he failed to do so. And I think many of us have been quite disappointed with that kind of approach. Just recently, Israel retaliated twice on Sana'a, which is the capital air force, as well as several ports. And perhaps another type of that retaliation will continue. But I doubt if this is going to deter those ideologically jihadist driven Houthis. The solution for the Houthis is a major attempt by the legitimate government of Yemen. The Houthis represent the illegitimate government of Yemen. They took over parts of Yemen from the legitimate government. So the long-term solution should be for the legitimate government to use force against the Houthis and take over that part of Yemen they control right now.
So interesting, because there's such a rich Jewish history in Yemen. You know, the Yemenite
yes.
Jews, I mean, you know, really, it's only when the country became more Islamist that it was no longer feasible for Jews to live there. Now the Jewish population is very small. But I just find it ironic that such a small country, terrible famine, 10 years of war, and instead of worrying about what they've got to do, they're worrying about the Jews and the Jewish state. And we know that this is Iran. I've got something else that I wanted to ask you, and it's something that I haven't really been able to find a question to. And hopefully, as the director of the Center for International Communication, you can maybe help me understand this. After the war with the hostages, there was a hashtag called hashtag bring them home. You've seen it, right? We use it on our posts.
Yes.
It's right throughout the world. Something that bothered me from day one is bring them home puts the responsibility on the IDF to go and get them. Bring them home. Telling the IDF, go and get them. Rather than give them back, which would put the responsibility on Hamas to give them back. Right?
Correct.
Who decides what that hashtag is?
Okay, so the problem is the distinction
yes.
that the media has been making or not making between Hamas and the Palestinians. We hear on the internet as well as on the traditional media. We hear most of the references are to the poor Palestinians. You don't see Hamas at all. And apparently, in the digital world, this is the norm. They refer only to Palestinians. You know, even in Gaza, they are Gazans. They are not even. They don't call themselves Palestinians. They call themselves Gazans.
Yes.
And they are ruthlessly being controlled by Hamas. Hamas is a jihadist. It's exactly like Al Qaeda and other jihadist organizations. But this is totally ignored, both in the digital world as well as by leaders. And you know, South Africa has very good relations with Hamas, which is quite unbelievable.
Yes, they've got offices here.
That a normal country, any normal country, would have that kind of relationship. You know, they call them freedom fighters. They are not freedom fighters. Those who conducted the October 7 attack on Israeli civilians, killed women, children, elderly. These are not freedom fighters. These are murderers, jihadist murderers, and should be approached like that. And unfortunately, the world has not recognized that. The world has recognized that for a few days after October 7. But since then, the much of the attention has been devoted to the conditions in Gaza.
Yeah.
And much of the pointing has been toward Israel. You know, Hamas could have ended that war in a second by releasing all the hostages and get the leaders, they get themselves out of Gaza. But they prefer to continue the war. They prefer to use women and children as human shelters And that way, civilians are killed.
Well, Professor Gilboa, thank you very, very much. I wish you and your family Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And that was Professor Eitan Gilboa, Director of the Center for International Communication at Bar-Ilan University.